Last Sunday, we began looking at the subject of salvation. A beautiful subject and a very large subject. And I shared with you how that I have approached this subject in the past and continue to think of salvation in these terms. And just as a matter of rehearsal for just a moment from last Sunday, our main thought centered around what I refer to as salvation promised. Salvation promised. Paul wrote in the first chapter of Titus, in hope of eternal life, that God, which cannot lie, promised before the world began. We looked at a portion of Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1 also, where it says that God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. He says, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We also looked at a portion of Scripture from Romans chapter 8. For whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We looked at those beautiful passages, and I left one of them out last Sunday. And so that's where I want to begin this morning. But mainly, I just want to read it for your hearing, and you've heard it before, and many of you can probably quote it. It comes from Ephesians chapter 1. We're talking about salvation promised. We're talking about things that God did or that God determined even before the world began. Not long ago, and again this weekend, I was reminded of a verse of Scripture in Isaiah, and I believe it's Isaiah 56, maybe Isaiah 57, that says, he that inhabiteth eternity. He's referred to as the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity. And we can't fathom much more beyond our little space of time that we occupy while we live here in the world. It's impossible, really, for us to grasp the real meaning of eternity. It's something that we can try to embrace and lay claim to when we think about eternity up ahead of us, right? But to go back beyond, or go back in the past, and go back beyond even the time we were born, or maybe past the time that our parents were born, or maybe our grandparents, for us to go back more than recent history begins to escape our understanding as well. But to think about before time was, before creation, that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were at work. The triune, eternal Godhead was at work. That just beyond our comprehension. Paul wrote in the first chapter of Ephesians, he said, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. It's hard for us to fathom and think about what God was doing and his purpose that he was determining before the foundation of the world. But that's what I have in mind when I refer to salvation promised. Salvation promised. Now I'd like to go to the the next aspect of this great and beautiful subject of salvation, and that is salvation accomplished. Salvation accomplished. And I want to begin in Matthew 1:21, another one of our favorite verses. It's important that we understand this great subject. There's one other subject that we really have to have a good understanding of even before we can understand this subject, and that is man by nature. Man's fallen, sinful nature, the depravity of man, sometimes referred, but that'll be another subject for another time. We know from Scripture that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit were indeed at work before creation. I want to think about this morning the accomplishment of those things. Matthew 1:21. Joseph is espoused to a young virgin named Mary. Mary is found to be with child. Mary was a virgin. Joseph and Mary had not entered into that intimate relationship, that intimate physical relationship that's reserved for husband and wife alone. They had not. So Joseph knew that this child was not his, and he was very troubled. An angel appeared unto Joseph and told Joseph not to fear. He says, "Fear not. Fear not, Joseph, to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Joseph, obviously, a man of God, a man who followed the Lord, a man who was faithful, who trusted the Lord. For his espoused bride-to-be to be found with child, which, you know, in today's world is not as much of a stigma, I suppose, as it would have been in that day. Regardless of how the culture today or society around us views such things, it's still not right. It's still not God's plan. It's still not the way that God would have it to be. So for Joseph to accept the message from the angel, that in itself speaks volumes about this man, Joseph. He was a faithful man. And the next thing that Joseph, or the angel, says to Joseph in verse 21 is, "She shall bring forth a son." Now he says, the angel says, "Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now, we looked last week at what God promised. We looked at what he purposed and what he determined. And now, several thousand years later, his son is coming into the world. And his son is conceived of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, within the womb of this Virgin Mary. And the angel says a few things about him, but one of the most important things that he says is, "He shall save his people from their sins." Now I get the idea that this is the beginning of the accomplishment of God's will, of God's purpose and what he determined even before the world began. I want to move over into the gospel according to John, but on our way, I want to stop in the book of Luke very quickly, Luke chapter 2. Jesus came into the world, and I want to show you just very quickly, not that it's necessary, you believe this already, I'm sure, that Jesus came into the world to do the will of the Father. The Son of God came into the world to do the will of the Father. It was proclaimed by the angel, he shall save his people from their sins. In the second chapter of Luke, when Jesus was 12 years old, his parents, as was their custom, went to Jerusalem. They went there yearly on an annual basis to attend the feast of the Passover. And so just like every other year, they go, and Jesus is 12 years old at this time, and they observe the feast of the Passover, and they're there in Jerusalem for a few days, and they begin to leave to go back home. And Joseph and Mary supposed that Jesus was with the company that they were with. There was probably a large group of people from that town, and they all began to go back home together. And after about a day's journey, Joseph and Mary realize that Jesus is not with them. Their 12-year-old son, Jesus, is not there. And so they begin looking around, and parents, you can imagine how frantic that might be, especially in today's world. You go to a water park, for example, or you go to an amusement park, or you go to the theater, or you go to the mall, or wherever you might go, and suddenly you turn around and you see your child is missing. They're nowhere in sight, and you immediately go into a panic. I know we've experienced it. They begin searching and can't find their 12-year-old son anywhere. And they're about a day's journey from Jerusalem. They go back to Jerusalem and they begin, and about 3 days later now, they finally find Jesus. And where do they find him? He's in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, hearing them and asking them questions. Verse 47 says, all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Verse 48, and when they saw him, that is Joseph and Mary, when his parents saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son? Now I can imagine what, you know, you're in a panic and you're finally about at the lowest point you could be. You're about swallowed up in sorrow, and all these thoughts are going through your mind. What has happened to my child? Someone's kidnapped him. Someone's killed him. Whatever it might be. And then finally you see him. There he is. And you burst out wanting to rejoice, but you also want to burst out on him. What are you doing? Why did you do this? Well, she says, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, why? What are you doing? Why have you done this? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. 3 days. Jesus said, how is it that ye sought me? In other words, why did you seek me? Why have you been sorrowing like this? Wist ye not, in other words, know ye not, that I must be about my Father's business? All of the things that happened from the time that this babe was born up until this time, and probably continuing on the next few years, Mary would have done or would have said the same thing or thought the same thing as she's thought in verse 50. They understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. But it says in verse 51 that his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. He goes back home with Joseph and Mary. And it says in verse 52, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. 12 years old, Jesus says, I must be about my Father's business. This is why I came into the world. So the angel says, he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus says, I must be about my Father's business. And we go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And I just want one verse. This is a familiar scene. Jesus and his disciples were at this well on their way to Samaria. And they meet this woman. And there's a conversation that begins to take place between Jesus and this woman. And the disciples are over here getting food. And when they come back and see Jesus talking with this Samaritan woman at the well, they're confused and amazed and marveled. And what is he doing? What is he doing talking to this woman? And in verse 31, the disciples say to Jesus, they're saying, Master, eat. They've been on a long journey. He's hungry. They're hungry. They're thirsty. They're tired. And they say, Master, eat. We brought food back. Now eat. Listen to what he says, verse 32. I have meat to eat that ye know not of. The disciples didn't understand that. They thought he was talking about food, natural food, and asked the question, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Who gave him something to eat already? What's he talking about? That's not what Jesus was talking about. He wasn't talking about natural food. He wasn't talking about natural sustenance. But he says in verse 34, my meat. In other words, my sustenance. This is what sustains me. This is what strengthens me. This is what nourishes me. This is what my life is. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and finish His work. Now, let's ask ourselves the question as we go along and try to answer it before we get through. Did Jesus accomplish the will of His Father? Jesus came into the world to do the will of His Father. He just said He did. Did He accomplish that will? This was His life. This was His purpose. This was His mission, to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, we'll begin to immediately answer the question, as a matter of fact, and hopefully begin to see why I look at this portion, this part, this aspect of this great subject of salvation as salvation accomplished. We looked at salvation promised. Now what about this? Salvation accomplished. Was it accomplished? How was it accomplished? And what does it mean to us today? John chapter 6, beginning in verse 37, for the sake of time, jumping right into the middle. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Now, if you were here last Sunday and you remember some of the things we talked about in salvation promised, or if you weren't and you just heard me just a few minutes ago make reference to some of the verses that we spoke about last Sunday, you should be able to make a connection very quickly. Jesus says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Wow. All that the Father giveth me. That sounds like to me that the Father gave somebody to the Son. That's plain and simple, isn't it? There's really no way around, and there's really no confusing the matter. All that the Father giveth me. What do you mean, Jesus? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And let's don't leave the second part off. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. One reason that verse is so terribly important to understand is you see from one end to the other. You see all that the Father giveth me. You see right now in this world shall come to me. And him that cometh to me. And we see the final end of it all. I shall not cast out. I'll not cast them out. We have from beginning, in the middle, to the end. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And why is that? Why can we embrace those words? Why can we embrace that promise, that declaration? Because he says, for I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. There he says it again. Jesus, the Son of God, came into the world to do the will of the Father. And he says, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. He says in verse 37, all that the Father giveth me. He says, now, this is the will. This is why I came into the world, to do the Father's will. Oh, and by the way, this is the Father's will, that of all that he has given to me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Praise the Lord. We ought to be happy about that. And you ought to be saying amen about it. This is the Father's will that Christ came into the world to accomplish. And if it not for the perfect accomplishment of the will of the Father on the part of the Son, you and I would be without hope. And if Jesus didn't accomplish the will of the Father while he was here in the world, it's too late. It's too late for you and I. Because he came into the world to accomplish the will of the Father, because you and I couldn't. He came into the world to offer himself a sacrifice for you and I to save his people from their sins, because we couldn't save ourselves. And he came into the world he came into the world to save. He didn't come into the world just to make it possible. He didn't come into the world to make it a possibility that we would be saved. He came into the world to save his people from their sins. And he accomplished the will of the Father. All that the Father, let's read it again all together. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do the will of him. He said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all he hath given me, I should lose nothing. Lose nothing. Do you find hope in that? Do you find comfort in that? Do you find security in that? I do, but there's no security anywhere else. There's no comfort in my works. There's no hope in my faith. there's no hope in my obedience. There's no comfort or security in my efforts. We can find comfort, security, hope, and put all confidence in the work, the finished work of the Son, Jesus Christ, but should raise it up again at the last day. Do you think that Jesus was able to accomplish the will of the Father? Do you think he accomplished what he came in the world to do? We're talking about salvation accomplished. We know that God promised it. We know God the Father promised it. Was the God the Son able to accomplish it? That's the question. Are we going to be able to answer it before we leave? You know the answer already, don't you? John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Beautiful words beginning in verse 14. He says, I am the good shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Listen to the language. We just read, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. He hasn't gone there yet. He's about to, though. He's getting close. At the beginning of Jesus' life, he says, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And about in the middle of his ministry, he says, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And now he says, I am the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd and I lay down my life for the sheep. Let me ask you a question just to think about. You don't have to answer it immediately. Take it home and chew on it for a little while. Was there ever a person born into this? Was there ever a goat living in this world that turned into a sheep? Never has been. I'll answer it for you. You don't have to chew on it. I'll answer it for you. Never has been a goat turned into a sheep. Jesus laid down his life for the sheep. He said, I know them. I know every one of them. I know them because God gave them to me. God loved them and he gave them to me. I love them and I'm going to give my life for them. And I'm going to save them from their sins. Praise God. Don't you find comfort in that? Is that where your hope lies this morning? And other sheep I have. Listen to what he says. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Picture Jesus standing there talking to his disciples and maybe several others around. I don't know. But he says, other sheep I have. They're not of this fold. They're not right here with us right now. Other sheep I have. There's a bunch more out there. If I can say it that way. There's a bunch more sheep out there. They're not of this fold. Listen to what he says. Them also I must bring. I must bring. He didn't say them, I'm going to try to bring. He didn't say I'm going to chase after them and hope to catch up with them. He says, them also I must bring. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. Praise the Lord. Have you heard the voice of the Son of God? I didn't ask if you heard the voice of the preacher. I didn't ask if you heard the voice of your parents, of your friends, of whoever. Have you heard the voice of the Son of God? And friends, if you've heard that voice, is because God has given you the ability to hear Him. He gave it all to you in one package. He gave it all to you at once. And He spoke life to your dead heart. That's what He did. While you were yet dead in your sins, He spoke life to you. The life-giving voice of the Son of God. Jesus says, "Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice." And bless your heart, He says, there shall be one fold and one shepherd. There's coming a day where there's going to be one fold. Now, they're all kind of scattered right now, right? From generation to generation, sheep are scattered here and there, and sometimes they're scattered as sheep without a shepherd. But there's coming a day that there's going to be one fold, when all the family of God, all those that God gave to the Son, all those that the Son embraced of the sheep that He gave His life for, one day they'll all be collected and gathered up in one. There'll be one fold, one shepherd, and we'll be rejoicing forevermore. Amen? And He says then in verse 26, He says, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice." He says, "I lay down my life for the sheep. I know my sheep. The sheep know me." He says, "The sheep shall hear my voice. They hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." They follow me. I'll tell you one thing. I don't know how much we'll follow. I don't know how closely every single one of the sheep will follow Jesus Christ here while they live here in the world. I don't know. I don't pretend to know because I don't know the heart of people. I can't see into the heart. But I'll tell you one place. I'll tell you one place we'll all follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is on the resurrection today. We'll follow Him right into glory. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Thank God. Praise God. That they follow me. I know them. I give my... That's salvation. Now, we're not done yet. John chapter 17. Now we're nearing the end of Jesus' life. We saw at the beginning of His life, "Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" We saw before He came into the world, after He was conceived, before He came forth from His mother's womb. Let's get this right. After He was conceived, before He came forth from the womb, the angel said, "He shall save His people from their sins." 12 years old, Jesus said, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Early on in His earthly ministry, Jesus said, "I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all that He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." And now we see, nearing the end of His ministry, He says, "I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. I know them. They follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." And now right before He goes to the cross, He's praying to His Father. And He says, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee." Listen carefully. "As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He," that is the Son, "should give eternal life to as many as Thou," the Father, "hast given Him the Son." Jesus had all power. He had power over all flesh. And one of the commissions, that, if you will, part of the commission that Jesus was given was to take all of those that the Father had given Him and give them eternal life. Isn't that what He just said? "As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him." But He didn't stop there. This is life eternal. This is eternal life. This is what eternal life is about. I don't know when eternal life began with you. I don't know, but it's eternal. Now that you have it, it's eternal. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Well, what did he say already to His disciples? "I know them. I know my sheep and am known of mine." Now, that doesn't say anything necessarily about what they know up here. But it says everything about what they know right here. You agree with that? It doesn't really say anything about what they know up here in the head. But it says everything about what they know in the heart. And that's why we rejoice to read Revelation 5 and 9, Revelation 7 and 9, about this great multitude of people out of every tongue, every kindred, every people, and every nation gathered around the throne. I don't know who they are. Don't know where they are. I don't always know what they look like. I see how they act sometimes, and sometimes it's beautiful. I know how I act sometimes, and it's pretty ugly. But they're His. They're His. Finally, He says, as He's hanging on the cross, John chapter 19, verse 30. Three simple words. It is finished. The angel said, He shall save His people from their sins. Jesus said, I came into the world to do the will of the Father. The last thing He said was, it is finished. He said, knowing all things had been accomplished, verse 28. All things had been accomplished. All the things that we spoke about last Sunday, that God determined, that God purposed, they're accomplished. Jesus says, it's finished. Now, we're just now beginning to get in the meat of this subject of salvation. And Lord willing, if we speak on it again, we're going to think about salvation applied. Salvation was promised. Salvation was accomplished. And hopefully we'll begin to talk about what it means to us now while we live here in the world as it is applied. Galatians chapter 4 says, when the fullness of the time was come. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Did He do it or not? Did He accomplish redemption? I'm thankful to tell you that He accomplished, that He obtained eternal redemption for us. He said that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, because you are sons, sons and daughters, because you are children, children by adoption. And whose decision was that? Children by adoption, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. I appreciate your kind attention. I pray we can go away rejoicing that salvation was accomplished. Salvation was accomplished.